Pure life in Poland, or hustled by Nestle reverse osmosis ozonation crap. You get a better drink when you turn on the tap. Arsenic, mercury, bromate are found from water in bottles, but not from the ground, and saying that water in bottles tastes better is like saying that water in bottles is wetter. Aquafina is Pepsi, Dasani is Coke. Nestle taking our water's no joke. Millions of dollars for a corporate lie to rip off the people and bleed the land dry. Now 20 million gallons a year of oil to make bottles of plastic appear, then off to the landfill they disappear, or our roadside attractions with old cans of beer. So Montague neighbors, we met and agreed that Nestle's is not what Montague needs, but Governor Patrick is winking his eye, 'cause he's a good old Coca-Cola guy. Aquafina is Pepsi, Dasani is Coke. Nestle taking our water's no joke. Arsenic, bromate, we don't need that crap. Yeah, the water is better when you turn on the tap. Oh, the water is better when you turn on the tap. You got corn in your hair, corn in your nails, corn in your carbon. You got corn in your entrails to give you diabetes or clog your arteries with a burger made of fat for fast food industries. I grow 5 tons an acre of corn I can eat, 200 bushels for a high fructose treat. And so does liquid candy, and your pancreas can deal with adverse metabolizing, and your system doesn't heal. 'Cause when blood sugar's gone kafooey, there ain't no going back, and your cholesterol is rising for another heart attack. From my 5 tons an acre of corn that we can't eat, 'cause it won't.
This is the Wolf Radio Show on WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. This is the Wake Up Call with Dick Paddock, your co-host, and Lori Hoyt, the other co-host. And our guest today is Miriam Thompson.
Okay, yes. We're happy to be here. I'm Lori Hoyt, and we're going to be talking about Palestine today. Amy Goodman, those of you who listen to WCOM may listen to her at 8 o'clock on Monday through Friday, and she had Noam Chomsky, and they were talking about Palestine today. So it's a topic that we've come to periodically because it's an ongoing, painful occupation that's been going on for 60 years, is it, Miriam?
Since 1948.
Yeah, so maybe more. So Miriam Thompson is going to be talking to us about a really powerful program that she and some other groups are presenting this Sunday. So Miriam, tell us about it.
Well, it's a unique forum. It is actually being hosted by the Abrahamic Initiative on the Middle East, AIM. And if you have a pencil, everybody, just look up aimproject.org. And I'll keep repeating that, aimproject.org. And you can learn all about it. It was brought together by faith leaders who have common human rights aspirations, who put their faith into practice, Jewish, Muslim, and Christian. And they are now in the we're now in our third forum on October 26th. That's this Sunday afternoon. Registration starts promptly at 2:30. It'll go at 5:30. And then let me tell you, the good news is that after the forum is over, the Mediterranean Deli is giving us lovely refreshments.
Aww.
So people can talk to the speakers and each other. And another wonderful piece of good news is that the Grannies are going to be singing an extraordinary song about Gaza in between the end of the speakers and the audience participation. So we're really excited. That's a wonderful surprise. And listeners are hearing it for the first time because it's not on the flyer. So it's called A Quest for a Just Peace, Linking Liberation Struggles, Jewish, Palestinian, African American, and Latino. We were hoping to have Native American, but they are having a powwow this weekend. So we're going to continue the conversation at the Sonia Haynes Stone Center in the spring, and they will be joining us then to continue this really vital conversation. And one of the things, among the things, it's kind of a word map. Misinformation, power domination, what do all these struggles have in common? Economic deprivation, threat to identity and culture, disfiguring narratives, denial of the process, dehumanization, violence, segregation, apartheid, racism, bandstands, and confiscation of land, all of which are connected in each of the liberation struggles that
yes.
four of our speakers beginning on October 26th will share. So let me tell you who will be speaking. Rabbi Brant Rosen, Jewish Reconstructionist Congregation in Evanston, Illinois, co-founder and co-chair of the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinical Council, an American rabbi, journalist, author, blogger, and human rights activist.
Wow.
And by the way, his new position is going to be Middle East, talk about interfaith. His new position is going to be Mideast director of the American Friends Service Committee.
Oh, that is
He is leaving
wonderful.
His synagogue. He wasn't pushed out, but there was obviously great tension and debate. Joining him will be
what a brave soul.
Yeah. But he will remain the Rabbinical Council of Jewish Voice for Peace,
yeah.
so he will be remain a major figure. Jewish Voice for Peace, by the way, and I'll mention it later, and Women's International League are among our 15 or so co-sponsors, and I will
That's us, folks,
them. Yeah,
the Women's International League for Peace and
yes,
Freedom.
Yes, Wilf Triangle Wilf is
We're
among the co-sponsors.
We're proudly co-sponsored, very proud.
Joining Rabbi Rosen will be Yusuf Munayer, Executive Director of the Jerusalem Fund and the Palestine Center. Absolutely a remarkable author, commentator, policy analyst for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. Our own Ajamil Dillahunt,
yes.
Our local extraordinary civil rights activist, retired postal union president, community educator, and founding member of the Black Workers for Justice. Finally, Gabriel Camacho, Boston-based immigrant rights advocate and coordinator for immigration programs with the American Friends Service Committee, a Quaker organization. So I will just quickly go over the co-sponsors because you will get what we've been trying to do in pulling all our partners together in struggle for human rights.
And to see how diverse the support is for getting a more complete narrative. For so long, there's been one narrative about Israel as victim, and more and more, I understand from Noam Chomsky, no less, that there is a little bit of shifting in the tide as more
well,
people are speaking up.
He comes actually to he drives home one of AIM's most important legislative actions, which is that U.S. is violating its own laws as it is complicit in supporting Israel's military economy.
Yes, that was a very powerful
point. Powerful point. So I'll go over those two pieces because we need to have more people calling Congressmember Price, with whom we meet about twice a year. So Jewish Voice for Peace, I mentioned, North Carolina. Wilf, of course, Coalition for Peace with Justice, Salam Shalom of the Church of Reconciliation.
Which is another very brave group.
Yep, well, the ones you remember put up the bus ads urging the end of U.S. military aid, with two beautiful fathers holding their children who they were trying to...
Grandfathers,
yes. Correct. A Palestinian Muslim and a Jew. St. Cyprian's Episcopal Church in Oxford with its own history of racism, as many of us took classes with Tim Tyson.
Yes.
By the way, one of the members of the Oxford Church is the sister of Ben Chavis, longtime family in Oxford.
Okay.
Muslim American Public Affairs Council, Muslims for Social Justice, Students for Justice in Palestine, the Eisenhower Chapter of Veterans for Peace, North Carolina Peace Action, Black Workers for Justice, Elders for Peace, Jews for a Just Peace, and Balance and Accuracy in Journalism. And I want to start with...
That's a pretty lengthy and stellar...
We probably could have continued, but I want to particularly, just the last, our friend Jerry Marcatos, who I know has been on the show and who runs Badge and is one of our co-sponsors, but he has a tape. I'm going to mention Noam Chomsky and some other important historians and authors and activists and scholars, mm-hmm. but Max Blumenthal is a journalist, has dual citizenship, and has one of the most compelling CDs that Jerry will make available at the conference, at the forum on Sunday.
Okay.
But he talks about the steady legislation in the Israeli Knesset that would deprive Palestinians of any rights, both on the West Bank, certainly on the West Bank, unless, of course, they renounce their faith and become Jews. And he also talks about the extraordinary efforts they've made in preventing African refugees fleeing for asylum and putting them in armed camps and denying them any opportunity for work, again, unless they renounce their faith. And, I mean, horrific legislation.
These are African refugees from where?
From Africa, from Eritrea, from Ethiopia,
okay.
from Yemen, who were fleeing. You know what's going on in Africa and what's going on, especially in the Middle East. But that was one of the most stunning pieces, how he outlines the various pieces
of legislation.
But Miriam,
I've got to comment on the irony with saying that they would have to renounce their faith and become Jews. That during the Inquisition, this is what the Christians did to the Jews. You know, if they didn't put you in prison or kill you, then if you renounce your faith and become Christian, you could live. So this is another one of these historical
ironies. Actually, I have
ironies.
To correct that. It is the Palestinians that have to renounce their faith,
mm-hmm.
and become Jewish to stay, because they really don't want Palestinians.
Palestinian Christians as well as Muslims.
Palestinian Christians are now declining in great numbers. So the primary mm-hmm. battle, you know, is Muslims and, mm-hmm. and Jew. But I'm glad you mentioned Christians, because I want to make it clear to our listeners that every faith, which is why the Abrahamic Initiative made such a really holy vow to take the most mm-hmm. important prophetic witnesses of all three faiths and put them forward as against some of the horrific history in each of our faiths, both important prophetic witnesses for peace and justice, mm-hmm. but also empire builders. And we only have to remember, which we'll discuss in the spring, what happened to the indigenous peoples in our continent when the Spanish, under the sign of the cross, and Jesus would be... We can't turn over in his grave.
And the rest of them with our American empire. And this is Israel's now an empire, and people don't want to face
all faiths, all faiths. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned to you the speakers, but I wanted to go, before I go to Noam Chomsky, I picked up this beautiful poem from Langston Hughes.
Do we say where it was at?
Oh, yes, let me tell you. Thank you, Lori. It's at the Nelson Mandela Auditorium, FedEx Global Education Center on the UNC campus, 301 Pittsboro Street. The entrance is actually on the corner of Pittsboro and Macaulay. Mm-hmm. There will be free parking. The event is free. It's free. Free parking below the building where you can approach from Macaulay Street. Starts promptly. I have to warn, this is a heavy-duty agenda.
And if anybody doesn't know their way around the campus very well, it's diagonally across from the State Employees Credit Union on Pittsburgh and right down from the Carolina Inn.
And you make
so
a,
it's very central.
Right. And you'll, well, depending on the direction you come in,
yeah.
It's right next, it's right under the FedEx building on Macaulay. So thank you for asking me for the address. Let me remind people the registration really will start promptly at 2:30. I mean promptly.
It will have
and
to.
We will have lots of volunteers, and you'll get wonderful packets. And we have little refrigerator magnets that you can put on your refrigerator as to important congressional numbers to call. So everyone will come out with important things to do. And then we'll open it up for the presentation. And the exciting thing is that after the panelists talk and give their own narrative, it is, they will talk to each other. And what we ask them to do is begin to model for audience participation. How can we bring our struggles together? Mm-hmm. How can we enlarge our voices for a just peace and liberation, both at home mm-hmm. and in Palestine? And how can we work in solidarity?
And this is a good time to be calling David Price because, you know, election time is usually a time when politicians are a little more open to listening. It certainly, I think, their ears are a little not quite as blocked as they are at some other times. So
he knows about the event, but
I'm
he'll
sure
be out of town campaigning. But I will get to David Price later because he really needs a good kick to make him less timid at his age.
Yeah.
He should be really.
At his age, you're right.
He
you
should.
Know?
Yeah.
What does he got to prove?
On the pulpit, pulpit.
He's going to be an older guy now. You know, he should have a little elder wisdom and a little self-confidence.
He's actually got wisdom, and he probably has no opposition, so he should have confidence. I think what he needs is spine, and he'll only get that if our voice is stronger. And since we meet with him twice a year, our faith and leaders and human rights activists, trust me, he knows the issues very well. I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars.
This is Langston Hughes.
This is Langston Hughes.
Started from the top again.
Well, this is excerpts. I'm not going to. It really, the title is Let America Be America Again.
Oh,
you
great.
Could have America. You could have Israel. You could have Christendom. You could have all of us. I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. Sure, call me ugly, any ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again. America, and I added Palestine. I just thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
So let me get to Chomsky. And if people, Lori mentioned, if you get a chance, either listen or stream Democracy Now! It's on at 8 o'clock in the morning on our own favorite radio station.
WCOM 103.5 FM on your dial.
It is also on at 7 o'clock on... On 7 o'clock on, yes, People's Channel. That's Channel 8 for those of you who have Time Warner. And it's also on at 8 o'clock, both on radio and TV. But at 7 o'clock, it's also in Durham on the Central University 92.7. 90.7 at 7 o'clock. They also have Democracy mm-hmm. Now! So it's important to really support
our public
stations. So there's
different opportunities in radio and TV to be able to catch it. And so that would be tonight would be good to listen because Noam Chomsky
You'll get the whole speech. I'm just going to excerpt part of it. He said, many of the world's problems are so intractable that it's hard to think of ways even to take steps toward mitigating them. The Israel-Palestine conflict is not one of these. On the contrary, the general outlines of a diplomatic solution have been clear for at least 40 years. Not the end of the road, nothing ever is, but a significant step forward, and the obstacles to a resolution are also quite clear. And then he cites a UN Security Council in January 1976 calling for a two-state settlement, internationally recognized borders, quote, with guarantees for the rights of both states to exist in peace and security within secure and recognized borders. The resolution was, guess what, was, what do they call it, vetoed by none other than the United States, of course, and Israel. He goes on to talk about the question, what are the prospects for the future? And by the way, he continues to give the whole narrative of U.S. complicity and the decisive support of Israel militarily, economically, diplomatically, and indeed ideologically by establishing how the conflict is viewed and interpreted in the United States and within its broad sphere of influence. And he also, by the way, upon questioning by Amy, and there he was at the U.N., I should tell you that he was giving this speech at the hall of the UN General Assembly, an event sponsored by the United Nations Committee on the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian People. And there were over 800 people, and our own Amy Goodman was on stage interviewing him after
his. Some of them were ambassadors, some of them were.
Some ambassadors, right, and members of the public who was let in. And so he keeps documenting how Israel disregards, with U.S. complicity, the steady assault, in fact, to control the territory and to kill and harass its inhabitants by means of its formidable military might. And, of course, you all will hear of the struggle between Hamas and Israel, which he says is just a flaming era and just disinformation because, of course, Israel is the only nuclear power in the Middle East. And as we've seen by three successive invasions of Gaza and what it's done on the West Bank and how it deliberately divides the two so they will not be united.
And I don't think a lot of people realize, if you don't even count their nuclear power, they're the 10th largest military in the world.
Oh, I'm not sure that.
I just read that, and that if you count their nuclear power, they're the 7th most powerful military
right. And the
in the
only
world.
Nuclear power in the Middle East, as it tries, of course, always to
I don't think a lot of
Iran.
People realize how formidable and how large and how powerful their military is. So when they talk about being afraid of Hamas, it is a joke, and it's a pitiful and sad joke.
Well, that leads me to the next part. He says in November 2005, and he documents, by the way, every time that Hamas sought a ceasefire, which Israel, of course, deliberately ignored and denied. But worse, in 2006, a very important event took place, the first full free election in the Arab world, carefully monitored, recognized to be free and fair. It had only one flaw. It came out the wrong way. Hamas won the parliament. We refused to recognize them, continuing to call them terrorists. Jimmy Carter was one of the monitors of that election and has continued to challenge the Israeli occupation. In 2007, a year later, Hamas, this is again Chomsky, committed even a greater crime than winning a fair election. It preempted the planned military coup and took over Gaza. That's described in the West and the United States and as Hamas is taking over by Gaza. By force, but Something is omitted. The force was preempting a planned military coup, which I didn't even know, to overthrow the elected government the year earlier. That continued until 2008, and then, of course, he documents what many of us know, Operation Cast Lead, and then most recently that destroyed 1,400 lives and displaced hundreds of thousands, and the recent one that killed over 26,000 men, women, and children, a third of them children, or more than a third of them children.
I think that's right, not 26,000.
I didn't. I mean 2,600. I say 1,000? Good. 700,000 were displaced. And by the way, as he's talking, Ban Ki-moon is already ordering a commission to look into the Israel bombing of UN shelters that were trying to house the many Palestinians that were displaced by Israeli bombs and ground
troops. And I don't know if you
want
to mention this or not, Miriam, but in listening to, I caught at least part of it today, what I did not realize when they keep talking about the Hamas or whomever from Gaza, missiles, little rockets coming over, and they are, compared to what Israel has, kind of makeshift rockets coming over into Israel. He said that Israel has the capability to stop them with their rocket stopping mechanisms anytime they wanted to, but they use that for maximum. We're so afraid, you know. It's anyhow.
But he mentioned something which, to me at least, was even more important. Every time Hamas initiated a ceasefire and sought to bring a more peaceful resolution to the problem, Israel attacked. It was a deliberate effort to undermine the peace initiatives and to make sure that it could increase its settlements, its settlement expansion. And he makes a point. It isn't just settlement expansion. The very settlements are illegal and have expropriated Palestinian land. Then he talks about April 2014, Gaza based Hamas and West Bank based Palestinian Authority signed a unity agreement. That so infuriated the Israeli government that again it launched major assaults on Palestinians in the West Bank, primarily targeting Hamas, but hundreds of people arrested, and also, of course, the Gaza killings.
The irony of that was prior to Hamas or Gaza and the West Bank having a unity agreement, they kept saying, "How can we have peace talks when they are so divided and don't talk together? How can we have a legitimate peace process because of that?" So they went and finally went and had a unity agreement, and they were infuriated. And our government, and Israel made all kinds of threats to the Palestinians because they dared to form a unity government.
Bomb Gaza and killing the 2,600 and displacing and bombing the UN shelters. But I'm very happy to say that along with Chomsky's speech, Amy mentioned that they will be holding hearings a commission to hold hearings onto the bombing of the UN shelters. I then went to Amy, and this was, I don't know when she actually did this, but I think it was in September, but she may have actually interviewed him. And this, you really have to look up the archives when you stream democracynow.org and look at the name of the program. She titled it A Slaughter of Innocents, Henry Siegman, a venerable Jewish voice for peace on Gaza, former executive director of the American Jewish Congress, long described as one of the nation's big three Jewish organizations, along with the American Jewish Committee and the Anti-Defamation League.
Okay,
and
I'm going to come back to that because I don't want to interrupt in the middle. When we come back, we'll start that mm-hmm. part over again because that's really important. Dick, time for our station break.
Time for a station break. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show, the wake-up call, and we're coming to you on the facilities of WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro, and we are the Triangle Branch of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And you can find WCOM's website at wcomfm.org. And you can go to that website if you're having trouble getting us over the air. You can go to the website and stream our program live from the button on the center left of the screen.
It says listen, doesn't it?
And it says listen now or something like that.
Yeah.
Or listen live.
Because we are a low power station, and sometimes you can get it and sometimes you may have difficulty. So just know you don't have to miss us. Cause not just us, but there's a lot of terrific programs on this station.
Right.
Which you can stream.
Yes.
Which you can stream live.
Yeah, whatever's on the air comes through that button onto your computer.
Oh,
And we are underwritten by Internationalist Bookstore, no longer at 405 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, but at 1001, I guess, at Lloyd Street, which is within the sound of my voice, although 405 West Franklin isn't all that far away. And we're very happy to have them be our underwriters again.
Yeah, and they're very happy with this move because there was problems with, I think, dampness or whatever in the other place or rain getting in, but also the parking,
as we
all know, the parking in downtown Chapel Hill is
difficult.
Difficult, and so the parking was difficult there, and now they have parking in the back. And as you go down Lloyd Street from Main, it's the first building on the left there after the corner. So it's a nice building, and they have a nice little setup. So please go visit them.
Brand new, fresh.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a couple of announcements.
Yes.
Is a very important one having to do with WCOM. Thursday, November 6th, 2014, which is this year. From 5 p.m. to 10 p.m., celebrate with WCOM hosts and supporters at the Hickory Tavern, 370 East Main Street in Carrboro, which is Carrboro's not all that big. It's close by.
It's in the bottom floor.
Big in spirit, though.
It's in the bottom floor of the new hotel. It's right across the parking lot from the radio station, and there is free parking in the parking deck.
Right. 10% of all food sale receipts, that if you drop them in the basket as you leave. Save your receipt after you pay and drop the receipt in the basket, and WCOM will get 10% of the value of all those receipts that actually end up in the basket. So please be sure to do that.
We're very excited about this because this station operates on a shoestring. As you can imagine, it's volunteer run, and we have to pay rent here, plus electric bill is high. And so please, please come out. If you love your radio station, and you must, how can you not come out and support us?
Okay. And there's another event that I want to announce, and that is a conversation on race and criminal justice and also reparations presented by the Southern Anti-Racism Network, of which I am a member. And its website is www.projectsarn, Project S-A-R-N, which is the initials of the Southern Anti-Racism Network, .org. It will be tomorrow, October 23rd, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Haytai Heritage Center, which is in Durham. And that's on 804 Old Fayetteville Street in Durham.
It's at 7?
It's at 6.
6
to 8.
6 to 8. And there will be refreshments provided by Blue Coffee Cafe.
Ooh.
In Durham. And it's the second in a series of conversations to address the impact of 250 years of slavery, 90 years of Jim Crow, 60 years of separate but equal, and 35 years of state-sanctioned redlining and housing. Based on that particular formulation is by Ta-Nehisi Coates in his acclaimed contribution, The Case for Reparations, in the June 2014 issue of The Atlantic Magazine.
It's a powerful, powerful article. I think it's about 20 pages, and it is
17,000 words.
It is a terrific article.
250 years? What are they?
Yeah, 250 years of slavery.
Slavery began in the 1600s.
Yep.
Yes.
It's now 2000. It's 400 years.
Yeah, and 90 years of Jim Crow, 60 years of separate but equal.
Separate but equal.
Yeah.
So it's more than 500. I was going to mention that myself because it's a beautiful movement of conversation starting on the 23rd for reparations, moving on to the liberation struggles on linking liberation struggles on and reparations on Sunday, connecting it to Palestine, and on the 28th, I was going to mention it later, Jewish Voice for Peace, together with other allies, are coming back to the Haiti Center from Ferguson to Palestine, a whole panel, again, connecting important anti-racist struggles here and in Palestine.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well,
and we are going to, the speakers will be Larry Hall, who's a member of the North Carolina House of Representatives, and Sandra Velez, who is the founding director of Bridges Puentes Prison Ministry. And the moderator will be Artemisia Stanberry, Associate Professor of Political Science at Central.
Great.
And so we look forward to having you come out, and we'll have a little bit to nosh on, and then we'll have our program.
Be a great conversation. And another link between those two things are the amount of money that was made from slavery that was really the undergirding economic power in this country. People don't realize how significant it, and the same with in Palestine. I mean, when you oppress a people and take over their land.
Well, who do you think is supporting Israel's military? All our wonderful
and our taxes. And that's so we are complicit unless we put pressure on our government to stop. And the other ironic part of that, while a lot of people in this country are struggling so much financially, there is food insufficiency in this country. The Israelis are very, very wealthy.
Except for the Palestinian Arabs who live in Israel and the Africans who fled seeking asylum.
Yes, but the Israeli Jews
who are losing their water access, and it's to drive them out.
Stealing their water.
Stealing their water. That's right.
Yeah.
Demolishing their homes.
Stealing their land. Stealing their water.
Right.
And stealing your food. You know that one of the things that the Israelis are doing to Hamas and the people in Gaza is that they regulate their amount of food that gets in.
Yes.
So that they have to scrounge to get food, but they can barely survive. They're on basically a diet controlled by the Israelis.
That is just one step above malnutrition in a lot of the kids. Just like when we were having the embargo on Iraq, where some
suffered.
The children are the ones who,
You should know, by the way, that some of you have heard that President Obama and other European nations have committed themselves. By the way, we should mention that both the British Parliament and the Swedish Parliament have voted to recognize Palestine as a state, a real major move. Two, British Parliament and the Swedish Parliament and others will follow, have voted to accept the Palestinian state a few days ago. It was mentioned today on Amy's show. And Sweden did it shortly either after or before. But I want to point out that the countries have committed hundreds of millions of dollars to, quote, rehabilitate or
rebuild
Gaza. However, the UN has pointed out they can't even get into Gaza to give the aid because Israel, with U.S. complicity, maintains its blockade. And I should mention that AIM, when it first started, beside its grounding on human rights and loving thy neighbor, everything that all the religions share at their best, One of their major goals, beside ending the occupation, reversing the settlements, not just stopping expansion, ending military aid, lifting the blockade of Gaza, by the way, right wing to David Price.
Huh? Well, that just happened now, so we got most of the program.
Oh, yeah. And I mentioned what we're asking. You know, I mentioned the bombing, the nuclear-free zone, lifting the blockade.
Yeah, just go ahead as though we were on the air, and it might start
well,
up.
Well, I can send you.
It looks like it started up again.
I knew it.
Okay, are we on? We're having technical difficulties, folks, if you can hear me. We're checking. Should we keep going then?
We could wait another minute. Yeah. We can sing. You know, we have three grannies
go
here.
Go ahead, because there's two people listening.
Oh, okay. Well, let me conclude with the kind of work that Laura, you mentioned earlier. We are paying for this occupation. We are paying for this bloodshed. And by the way, we're already paying for bombing many who are innocent civilians in the growing perpetual war in the Middle East. So this is part of the whole process.
Yeah, we pay $3 billion a year to support Israel, mainly its military.
It's over $3 billion, by the way. Yeah. And it's supporting our military contractors with our tax dollars.
Right, exactly.
But we are now spending almost $1 trillion in the Iraq war, Afghanistan, and we're now starting all over again with bombing, ISIL war. And then I read that Assad is using this opening with ISIL, where all our attention's on ISIL, to kill all the rebel troops that are fighting against his fascist government. So we are in deep trouble.
I just wanted to point out that $3 billion a year is $10 for every man, woman, and child in this country.
Is how much?
$10.
So every year.
$300 million people.
So every year people know that they are contributing to this war. So here's what you can do.
But the other part of it, I don't want to forget this, is that I think a lot of people in this country don't realize how Europe and the rest of the world views the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and they see it in the Mideast and everywhere as a wound, a thing that is a festering wound to the world because it is so unjust, and it certainly does not help our reputation.
That's the body politic, but it is not true of Cameron's government in the UK. It is not true of many governments, but it is true of the people.
It may not be of governments, but of the people. And it formally was with many of the governments.
Well, I mentioned two parliaments that have now recognized the Palestinian state.
In spite of Cameron,
that's
the UK parliament.
In spite, because he fought against it. But it's also the Israeli soldier, which I didn't mention, but we can do it another time. We'll talk about it on Sunday, the whole growing boycott, divestment, and sanction movement. Mm-hmm. And JVP has been doing a lot of work in Durham around a security contractor that's working with Israel and trying to get them out of Durham. So it's a really major effort locally. But with Price, it's important. Again, Dick, I'll give the number, 202-225-3121. And here's what's important. What Chomsky points out that we started with in a conversation with Price, there are two U.S. laws that prohibit military weapons to countries that practice human rights abuses. And in addition to Israel, we should include Egypt, and we should include Saudi Arabia.
Oh, we should.
So it isn't just Israel. We're giving about $1.5 billion or more to Egypt as they murder and detain and hold journalists and kill journalists. I mean, it's horrific. And Saudi Arabia. But in terms of Israel, ending human rights abuses, one is what's called the Leahy Amendment to the Foreign Assistance Act, and the other is the Export-Import Act, both of which deny military aid, particularly Leahy. It's very clear any government practicing human rights abuses should not get military aid. And every year, the State Department under Hillary, then under Kerry, you know, points out these abuses, but nothing happens. So we have to demand from David Price
that
he should get on C-SPAN. He should demand that that the Leahy Amendment is being violated. Let me tell you what we did get him to do.
So our own laws are being violated.
That's right. Now, he wrote a letter in 2012. We want him to do it again to the new Secretary of State, Kerry, but he wrote to Hillary Clinton saying, my constituents, and we documented two human rights organizations in Israel, B'Tselem and Gush Shalom, documented human rights abuse. These are Israeli Jewish human rights organizations. Amnesty International documented. The UN Commission on Human Rights documented.
Yes.
So we gave him all these people. You don't have to say it yourself, Price. Mm-hmm. You can quote these very important human rights organizations. So that was the first thing we asked. And the other thing is he went to Israel and Palestine. People should ask for a public report of what he saw. He has opposed the settlements. He needs to come out vigorously and let his
people
in a letter.
He did go there. When did he go there?
He went a few months ago with six colleagues from Congress, including Doggett from Texas. And we asked him, get on C-SPAN, get in front of Congress. This means use your bully pulpit to educate the American public of what you saw, talk to them about the violation of our own U.S. laws, not to mention international law, but our own U.S. laws. So there's lots to do with David Price and our other demands. We've asked him support a nuclear-free zone. You cannot. He believes in diplomacy, so he's been supporting Obama on continuing negotiations with Iran. We told him the way to make those negotiations work is to institute a nuclear-free zone, and that means Israel.
Linking it to Iran.
Oh, and we also haven't gotten a copy, but they're supposedly sending a letter to the president, these six folks who went over there, condemning the land grab. I didn't mention that, but just in the last month, they have – Chomsky mentions it today.
Oh, all six of them, even the guy from Texas?
Yeah.
Wow.
They made a major land grab. Now, this is after they destroyed Gaza once again. They went ahead and took over 1,000 I think it's acres, but it may be more, including towns and villages and so on. And what they're doing to the Bedouins, it's just all over the place. But Price is really important. And so anyone, he is our representative, as is Kay Hagan, our senator, at least in
and so
for the next
Burr.
Election. And Richard Burr, absolutely.
I think every time you write Kay Hagan,
same thing.
Right, Richard Burr.
Richard Burr, they are our senators.
The same thing. They're both senators.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the same.
They represent us equally, theoretically.
Right. And the same telephone number, 202-225-3121.
Yeah.
So hope to see everybody on Sunday at 2:30, Mandela Auditorium, the FedEx Global Education Center.
Pittsburgh Street.
Parking on Macaulay, right off Pittsburgh Street. Mm-hmm. And it's free, and a really extraordinary speakers.
And you can start out your weekend
tomorrow
concentration on serious subjects by coming tomorrow.
Tomorrow to the Haytar Center.
The conversation on racism and criminal justice.
Racism and criminal
justice. And reparations.
And it's at the Haytar Heritage Center on Old Fayetteville Street in Durham.
And it's at six to eight
o'clock. 6 to 8. And come and get some of Blue Coffee Cafe's wings.
And they're tomorrow, good. Before you go to Haiti, and before you go on Sunday, vote.
Yes,
it's the first day of early voting.
Starts. In fact, when I leave here, I got to go home and do some phone banking. And I should have started it last night, but I got home from a book club kind of late because I've got 4 sheets. I don't think I'm going to get all those phone calls in, but I'll do it tomorrow night again. So tomorrow starts the early voting, and they're encouraging people to vote early because you never know what's going to happen on election day with the weather, or you might be sick or whatever. So vote early.
I should announce that at 10:30, the NAA is having a Souls to the Polls at the Seymour Center on Hillsborough. So we're all going to be, those who can, 10:30, wearing their, if you have an NAA t-shirt, don't worry, because if you don't, I'm sure they'll have them there. But we're all going to be voting tomorrow at the Seymour Center, gathering at the Seymour Center at 10:30.
Oh, okay. Okay, so
that was a call from Minister Campbell, president of the local branch of the NAACP.
Okay, and I think also you can do it at the
Carrboro
Town Hall.
Correct.
So a lot's going on, but like we said, in terms of things to go to, tomorrow night starts Sorn's continuing conversation on reparations
right.
and race.
It's actually our second conversation.
Your second conversation.
Yes.
And then the Binkley Church, I'll just give a brief announcement, they're having their Seymour Symposium, which they have every year. And this is on righting wrongs, justice, the church, and public disclosure.
It's perfect. They're going to be Friday night to Sunday morning, and then people are going to wind their way over to linking liberation
and
struggles.
And Reverend Barber's right. going to be, and Valdemar Velasquez from Flock. So we live in an area that we're so blessed and so lucky that there are all these wonderful opportunities to really be informed and to unite with other people in some things that you can do to try to right some of these wrongs.
Get involved.
Yeah. And WILF is a way to be involved, the Women's International League. Look us up on, what is our www.trianglewilf.org?
Right.
And
Triangle WILPF.
And there's the Raging Grannies are going to be singing
on Sunday afternoon.
So there's a lot of good things happening. This is a community that there's a lot of involvement. People do get involved, and this is an encouragement to all of us to get involved or stay involved and keep it up.
Right. Okay, we're winding down. We want to...
Oh, next week, excuse me.
Yes.
Next week on Wednesday the 29th, we are going to have Michelle Cotton Laws.
The new executive director.
Director
new
for the...
state executive director.
Yes.
Of the NAACP.
She's been an ally and friend and WILF member for a long time. So she's been just recently appointed the state executive director, and she's going to be on our program.
I want to give thanks to Miriam Thompson for being with us today.
Thank you, Miriam.
And say goodbye.